Well, hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub. This is our MCU past and future episode discussion. My name is Chris Lockhart. I'm your host this evening. Unfortunately, my regular co-host could not be here this evening, but I have some backups. I've got a whole team here. We got a Fantastic Four going on, I guess. Almost an Avengers. I don't know if we can pull off an X-Men. We definitely could do better than Dark Phoenix. I know we can do better than that. So joining me on tonight's episode, first up, and this is no particular order, first up, Richard Reeder. How's it going, Rich?
Hey, I'm doing great and ready to start talking to some MCU.
Excellent. And next up, Mr. Mike King. How's it going, Mike?
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here and talk comic book movies. Woohoo.
Awesome. And last but not least is someone that's podcasted with me. We were trying to figure out prior to this podcast when we actually recorded last. It's been a few years. Last but not least, Mr. Kevin Decent. How's it going, Kevin?
See, that's a crazy thing. For you guys, it's been 5 years, but for me, it's been 5 hours.
Yeah.
Topical. Very topical.
Yeah, maybe you got snapped. Maybe.
Or was it blipped?
Could be a blip. Sorry to say.
The snapping.
Alright, so for this episode, as I said, the topic is MCU past and future. So we are going to discuss the Marvel Cinematic Universe. When I planned this episode, and this is no word of a lie, the night that we scheduled this recording is, I think, 2 days after Spider-Man Far From Home was released, and I didn't realize that when I planned it. So I had no intentions of talking about Spider-Man Far From Home aside from speculations, because for some reason, I don't know why, I thought it was coming out like July 21st or something. Like, I thought it was like later in the month. So it really took me by surprise that it was like July 2nd when it was officially released.
Well, I mean, it is a weird date because it's a Tuesday, right? Like, that's kind of a weird day for a movie to come out.
Well, I'm assuming it's because of Independence Day. I'm assuming that's why they did it.
Wait, we saw it on the first day?
Yes.
Wow.
We also went to the shittiest movie theater in Ottawa, Mike, which is why it was empty, because I know that's what you're thinking.
So yeah, like I wasn't so what like I've seen it, Mike's seen it, Rich has seen it. Kevin hasn't seen it yet, but he said that we can discuss it. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're worrying about spoilers, so this is the plan. We're going to focus on our main topic, and we may make reference to Spider-Man Far From Home during that topic, but we won't spoil anything. And then towards the end of the episode, once we've discussed our main topic, we will get into Spider-Man Far From Home, like the actual discussion, spoilers, all that kind of stuff. But I will let you know, listener, when that time comes. So you can pause your iPod or your iPhone or whatever you got, and then come back and listen to the rest of the episode without being spoiled. Because I know what that's like. It sucks being spoiled.
How he said whatever you have, but only mentioned two Apple products.
I'm an Apple guy.
I wonder what camp you're in there, buddy.
I've been in every camp. I was a BlackBerry guy, I was a Android guy, and the last 4 or 5 years I've been iPhone.
I'm currently looking how to replace my iPad Air battery because it keeps dying on me at 70%.
Wow, that's rough. All right, well, let's get into the discussion. And I actually didn't throw this. I don't think I threw this out on the message thread. So we're going to do this kind of off the... you guys are going to be taken by surprise, I'm hoping. We're talking Marvel Cinematic Universe. So the Marvel movies. We're not talking the Sam Raimi movies. We're not talking the X-Men movies. It's just the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe. What is your favorite MCU character / actor in the MCU? That'll be the first question I'm going to pose to you guys. for me, like, I'll kick it off. It's got to be Chris Evans as Captain America.
So wait. Does it have to be one in the same? Can our favorite actor be different than our favorite character?
If that's the way you want to, as long as it's in the MCU, that's fine.
Okay.
Perfect.
So you can't say Chris Evans as Johnny Storm.
Yeah. The reason why I said Chris Evans is when I learned that he was cast as Cap, I thought that was the biggest mistake. Because, yeah, like, as you guys mentioned, he was in the first two Fantastic Four movies, and he was fine as Johnny Storm. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking him as an actor. But I just couldn't see him pulling off Cap. Like, I couldn't see him in that
Wasn't
role.
Wasn't he also another superhero as well?
He was in The Losers, and he actually was, like, the smallest person in the cast, which is weird to think of now.
I feel like he played another superhero, too, though.
He was Scott Pilgrim.
Okay.
And,
so was Superman. So many comic book heroes were villains in that movie. It was freaking great.
Yeah. But, yeah, I had my doubts, because, like, for me, the person that I wanted them to cast at the time was Jon Hamm from Mad Men. I figured he would have, you know, he would have been the perfect Captain America if they made him blonde. But so I was pleasantly surprised, and he far exceeded any doubts I did have. Like, I was like, he did such an amazing job that to me, when I see Chris Evans, he's Captain America. Like, that's, I can't think of anyone else. And I mean, Robert Downey Jr. definitely was born to play Tony Stark in Iron Man, but for me, it's just the fact that Chris Evans exceeded my expectations. That he is my favorite, and the Cap movies are my favorite. I just want to throw that out there real quick.
Well, I mean, Chris Evans is also arguably one of the best looking people. I mean, that's hard to say because everybody's good looking in those movies, but I mean, like,
and he's just tweets, so dapper. And his tweets, he is Captain America at heart.
Oh, yeah, he's
the things he stands up for, the people he stands up against, he is. He's taken his character to heart.
Yeah. Definitely. And Chris, mm-hmm. just I just found this when looking to see if I missed something. He's officially been in 15 comic book movies. In order of release, Fantastic Four, TMNT, the animated film where he played Casey Jones, I believe. Hmm. Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. Push, The Losers, yeah. Scott Pilgrim versus the World, Captain America the First Avenger, The Avengers, Snowpiercer, Thor the Dark World, Captain America the Winter Soldier, Avengers Age of Ultron, Ant-Man, Captain America Civil War, Spider-Man Homecoming, and then, of course, obviously two more, so I guess he's been in 17 now.
Yeah, I totally forgot Snowpiercer is based on a graphic novel. I haven't actually seen that movie. That's on my to-do list. I want to see that.
I hear the knockoff is actually more fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Rich. Now I'm passing the baton over to you. Who's your favorite?
I keep my mouth shut. I would say my favorite character, and for me, I think these have to be a different thing. My favorite character, and this is definitely partly because of the movie that we just saw. But I would have to say Happy, because he makes, like, every film that he's in, he mm-hmm. just, he adds these little touches. I love his character, plus the fact that behind the scenes, he was also, you know, like, a producer and a director, and, like, Jon Favreau is just, like, he's a very creative person in general, mm-hmm. but I love that character that he portrays. It's amazing. And as far as, like, my favorite actor, that one is a hard one, although I'd probably maybe have to tip the hat to Evans as well, just because, like, it's Evans. I mean, like, you've got all the Chrises in one franchise, and it's incredible. It's so good, and it's so hard to choose between them, but I would say I'd probably have to go with Chris Evans.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they don't have Chris Pine. But I'm DC has him, but I think he's regretting
that's
that.
That's true.
Although he's
in all the good Chris's.
He is in the good one of the few good DC movies. He is in Wonder Woman, but
true. That is true. Now, if they can just get all the Ryans in the MCU, then I'll be a very happy
man. Yeah, that would be awesome. Mike, your favorite actor or character?
I got to give it to Robert Downey Jr. because he started it and he ended it. He was just, again, the perfect role for Iron Man, even though they kind of flubbed the demon in the bottle storyline in Iron Man 2. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can't really blame the writer. You can't really blame the actor for the writers. You know, they could have just really had him go full addict and just say, all right, Rob, just play off your experience and really get into this. But, you know, for what he did do, like Iron Man 3 was a good redemption. And, like all the turns that he's taken throughout, like even in a Civil War when he ended up fighting Cap, he was always at the heart of it. Like he yep. was like the reason that the Avengers came together, the reason that they fractured, and the reason that they all came together at the end.
Yep. No, and Iron Man. And like to be honest, like to go on off a quick tangent, the whole Civil War thing. I would like as much as I love Captain America, and he's my favorite character. I was Team Iron Man for that movie. I totally understood why Iron Man was doing what he was doing.
Yeah, when you take sentiment out.
I mean, not to trust you and the government friggin'.
Yeah.
When you take sentiment out of the way, Iron Man kind of had a point.
Mm-hmm.
Although, like, as far as loyalty goes, like, you realize now you could have. You'd rather have Cap in your corner rather than Iron Man because he'd go with the law because, you know, he's. He's all tied up with his money and his business.
That is true. But I just want to add to the RDJ thing. He was definitely born to play Tony Stark. If you go back, and this is crazy, if you go back to the 1998 Heroes Return comic book series that was
basically lived his life,
written by Kurt Busiek and with the art by Sean Chen. Iron Man, like, RDJ's in that book. Like, that character is, like, it's crazy. 10 years before the first Iron Man movie, like, it's like they cast, like, Marvel cast Robert Downey Jr. in that role without even, I don't know if they even realized it. But yeah, no,
just a second. Hold on, I'm being called.
But, yeah, it's just fantastic what Robert Downey Jr. has done in that role. But, all right, so, Kevin, your favorite MCU character or actor?
Well, I'll do both, since mine doesn't tie in together as mm-hmm. some of the other picks have. I think the best actor in the franchise so far has been Josh Brolin.
Nice.
When you see the actual footage on that, it's unreal. He's not phoning it in, he's not pretending because there's going to be so much CGI. Mm-hmm. And they change CGI because of him, because of all the facial tics and the nuances and all.
Mm-hmm.
And that Thanos character would not have been so important without him behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I you know, I'll joke with friends that I wish there was like a comic book award show for great acting so they could be recognized. Because go back to Men in Black 3 with Brolin, when it looked like when he cloned or copied Tommy Lee Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, Thanos has just been incredible for in both movies. Now, as far as a character on screen, though, that I think has been underrated, went from a nothing to a hero, but gets forgotten about, even in the comics, is Nebula.
Hmm. Excellent.
For her character arc, until the end, even in the Endgame where you got, you know, two of them and, you know, the wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff going on here.
Yeah, how many people can survive their own suicide?
Oh, I mean it's murder, suicide.
She killed her past self. Yeah. She should have faded out.
Well, no, not according to the rules of the endgame time travel. Because now that past Nebula is in a split timeline, right?
Yeah. But she was flat out a villain. And was convinced, but saw the error of her ways.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many moments that hinge on her. Much like, I mean, I was waiting for it because I remember buying Infinity Gauntlet fresh off the racks when it came out. And she becomes such a pivotal turning point in that story.
Mm-hmm.
I really think she doesn't get, you know, the credit, the merchandise, the toys, the love that character deserves.
Yeah, she's kind of cleaning up her own mess, though, because if she just turned off her Wi-Fi and went on airplane mode, everything would have been fine.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, and that is a rare thing you don't see a lot in comics or movies, is a villain becoming a good guy. Like, and yeah, you're right. Like, she totally did that in those films. And fantastic to see. And I love Karen Gillan. Like, from an acting standpoint, I think she did an excellent job as well.
I mean, she was great on Doctor Who. That selfie show was horrible, but she tried. And Jumanji's actually, like, really fun.
More Wait, fun what? Jumanji?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she was in the...
No, she's in the reboot one. And the sequel,
really?
Christmas.
Yeah, she's the redhead.
She's the hot girl?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
That's Karen Gillan.
Dude, it's a blue person, a bluish gray person versus a hot, not bluish gray person.
How about from Doctor Who? Very easy.
I don't watch
Doctor Who. She was hot redhead girl.
Don't watch Doctor Who.
Oh,
so I would have missed that one.
I would, like, me being a bit of a Who fan... The series that she was in was the best, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I loved her and Matt's.
She Matt Donna? Smith.
No, she's Amy Pond.
Oh, well, that's the only good redhead in Doctor Who. So it does.
Amy Pond's better. Trust me. You gotta watch it. But anyway, did we go around the table? Did everyone throw their favorite character and actor out there?
Yeah.
All right. So I got a few little points here. What are you guys' take on all this hate that Captain Marvel's getting? Do you guys share in that at all?
No.
Because much
of it seems misogynistic.
I was going to go with that, but I don't know what he's referencing yet.
Well, everyone seems to either not like the movie or they hate Brie Larson, or both. I thought the movie was fine. Like, it, you know, is it my favorite?
The movie was great.
Well, for me, like, it's not my favorite, but I mean, it's good. You know, it is a good movie. And I thought
it's definitely not the worst, right?
No. And Brie Larson, I felt, was very good in that role. Like I love Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
But
especially when she cuts her hair.
But I know in some of the interviews, like, Brie Larson has kind of come across as being, I don't know, kind of a bag, I guess, in some of the comments she's made and some of the things she's said. But honestly, I just think she's misunderstood. I think, you know, people just aren't getting sometimes when she's joking around. 'Cause there is this one interview when she's sitting with Chris Hemsworth and Don Cheadle, and they're asking, like, the interviewer's asking about, like, you know, do you your own stunts? And Brie Larson says, well, I do all my own stunts. And then Chris Hemsworth, like, ooh, you know, what do you, you know, who are you, Tom Cruise? You know, and she's like, no, I'm me. Thank you very much. Like that kind of attitude. And you kind of, like, if you look at Don Cheadle's reactions, he's like, ooh, like, he's, like, very uncomfortable. I think she was just joking around. Like, I really don't think she meant anything by it.
Well, maybe it's because someone was comparing her to a man when she's a woman in 2019. You never know.
Well, and maybe, but at the same...
There's definitely a... lot of misogynistic hate against her, for sure. Because she's the most powerful person in the Empire are going to hate on that.
Well, and that's the thing. I think people are hating on that aspect of her character. And I don't think it matters if it was a woman or a man. I think it's they say she's too overpowered. But I'm fine with that. Like, I'm okay having, like, a Superman-level hero in the MCU. There's definitely places you can take that character, things you can explore. And another reason why I say I think Brie Larson was joking, like, when she says she does her own stunt, is because I think it was the MTV Movie Awards. I think Captain Marvel won, like, Best Fight or something, the Best Fight Award. And then when Brie Larson went up to accept the award, she brought her stunt doubles with her. So...
Oh, that's cool.
So, it's cool that she, you know, is sharing the love. Like, I mean, these fight scenes wouldn't be possible without the stunt doubles. But at the same time, it also goes to show that, like, she might have been just joking during that interview with Chris Hemsworth when she said she does all her own stunts. And I think she's just misunderstood. I really think people just spun it, you know, in a negative way. And I just don't understand all the hate. But I just wanted to see what you guys thought.
So it's like having that friend that has a dry sense of humor, and when you've known them for a while, you get it and you can goof around with it and you can understand it. But when someone new comes into the situation, it's almost like you need to give them, like, a Cliff Notes background so they can understand it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know.
And that's the hate she's getting. But I think for Captain Marvel, a lot of it is to go back not that long ago, pre-Kelly Sue, pretty much. And Carol Danvers was not this character.
No.
She went through everything and terrible writing and terrible stories and was a joke and was just a toy and wasn't Marvel's Wonder Woman, pretty much. And I think people have read comics for a while are like, listen, as long as I've been alive, Wonder Woman's been Wonder Woman. She's been the strongest woman, maybe even the strongest person in DC.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who she was and who she is now and who she always will be. But Carol was a joke, and now she's this, and it's too big of a change. Where anyone new coming into comics, that's only Carol they've known, so they're going to roll with it.
That's true.
So I think you just have this backlash. And, I mean, it didn't help. It wasn't like, oh, hey, she's a new character, and let's slowly introduce this. It was, she's a new character, and she's in your face. It's almost like what they did with the Sentry in the comics years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Let's throw this out there. I don't mean it as negative, but she was Poochie from Itchy and Scratchy there. Let's introduce a new character.
Oh, I thought you said Coochie.
No, Poochie. Trying not to be horrible.
The C, and I was like, who the...
Dude, chill.
And I was like, Poochie, hey, let's have Poochie on screen at all times, and if Poochie's not there, let's have the character say, hey, where's Poochie? Mm-hmm. And it seemed to be that's where the comics pushed it too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got the backlash. I didn't have a problem with it. I think she's been amazing. And to go through all the Shazam legal nonsense of the Captain Marvel name, they finally, since the first time since the 70s, I think, have a character that you're like, yeah, that's Captain Marvel. That's a star. That should be in the top echelon of all of Marvel. Thank you for finally doing that with this character.
Yeah.
But I understand.
Well, that's the other thing, too, though, right? She's going to be, like, put on the pedestal. She's basically the new Iron Man. She's carrying, like, Kevin Feige has come out and said that she's carrying the franchise going forward. So there's probably also a lot of people that are like taking all of the things that you're Kevin that you're talking about, and then also that's compounding it even more, and they're like, oh, so she goes 0-60 and now she's running the damn franchise. It's like, whoa, buddy.
And you got your internet reaction people have not been right. You know, oh, Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man in this multi-million-dollar movie. You're giving money, and he's going to do drugs again and have to be in rehab, and your whole franchise is done. I found an article a little while ago. I probably posted it, but I don't remember when. Marvel cast two unknowns as Thor and Loki. Okay, yeah, maybe they were unknowns then when they were cast, but they're certainly not now.
Yep.
So if they want Brie Larson to be the lead for the next 10 years, your track record shows you know what you're doing. How about everyone just shut up, chill, and wait and see what happens?
Yeah,
well, they brought Downey back.
Whenever they went in space, it was always a smash hit. The Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor 3. I mean, the key is the evidence.
Thor 3 smash hit? You might be putting a little bit too much icing sugar on that there, buddy.
Oh, shut up, you negative little bastard.
Just saying, that movie isn't so...
Was fantastic. Thor 3 was a godsend.
Oh, I love Ragnarok.
Oh, sorry, 3. See? My bad. I was thinking... Sorry, I thought you said Dark World.
My bad.
No. Oh, okay.
How many joints did you smoke before you came here? When did 2 sound like 3?
So, I like Brie Larson. I really do. I think she's wonderful. But I'm just throwing this out there. If they had to recast her for some reason, if she had to leave, I really wish they would cast Catherine Winnick as Captain Marvel. She was my first choice. Great Canadian actress. She, you know, she's in the show Viking. She does a lot of her own stunts. She's got workout videos. So, like, she would have been fantastic. But... I'm not hating on Brie.
She's hot as fuck.
That too. But I'm not hating on Brie Larson. She's also very attractive, very beautiful. All right.
I thought that she always got a raw deal because, like, there was a massive influx of negative reviews for a movie that hadn't been released yet. It all had to do with her comments, which, you know, when you listen to them, they're not that unreasonable.
No.
And, like, they're just taking her to task, proving when she says, like, there needs to be, like, more, less white guys in comics, and people are losing their friggin' minds. They're proving her right. Because, they were just like, ooh, white people are being threatened. I need to stand up for my dudes. Like, you're only proving her right. Other people need representation because... Mm-hmm. You know, look at the backlash of people defending Whitey. Whitey is protected. Whitey is represented. Other people should get a shot.
Yep.
She didn't say anything that wasn't true. And every time they lashed out, they proved it. They proved their insecurity, their fragility, their fear of being replaced. She was a hero off the move, off the offset, as well as on screen.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think she's fantastic. I'm looking forward to seeing more from Captain Marvel, for sure. But also another little side note, going back to talking about Iron Man and casting. Do you guys remember a time when the names Nicolas Cage and Tom Cruise were being floated around as being Tony Stark? That did happen.
Nope. I do not. Huh.
Yep.
I remember Tom Cruise constantly. Nicolas Cage, I'm only picturing the Superman picture that leaked.
Yeah, no.
I was thinking of Nick Fury. Sorry, I was just thinking about, like, yeah, well, I wanted to see David Hasselhoff return.
Yeah, that. Well, we did see David Hasselhoff later on.
He was busy eating a burger at the time. It was on the floor, sure, but...
Floor burgers
Stop
are good.
Me. I need to tell you about the Avengers Initiative.
But Nicolas Cage was pushing hard, back in the early 2000s to be Iron Man. And Tom Cruise.
That didn't happen.
He probably was reeling in defeat from losing the Superman film still, so he wanted to be some sort of superhero, right?
Well,
he's such a huge
Rhodey, stop
fan.
Shooting at me! Stop shooting at me, Rhodey! The lasers! The lasers are in my eyes!
Nice. But yeah, no, Tom Cruise, I want to say as early as like the late 90s, he was, they were thinking about making a movie with him as,
thank God, I'd rather Nick Cage. At least he's the right height.
Oh, not Nick Cage. Oh, that guy's terrible. But he, I guess Nick Cage did get to be Ghost Rider in another
few also movies. Terrible.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, let's move on. Our next topic of discussion is Marvel's future plans. So at the time of this recording, as far as I know, because this recording is before San Diego Comic-Con, so I'm assuming they're going to be making some announcements there. But we got Black Widow coming, I believe it's May 2020.
They haven't announced any, so any of the films that are currently filming right now, none of them have specific dates. They have dates locked down for Marvel films, but they haven't attached a specific franchise to those dates yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so any dates right now where you're like, oh yeah, it's going to be this date for this movie, like it's all...
It's just all speculation.
Right now. They haven't announced anything yet. Yeah, they haven't announced a single thing yet, other than the fact that they're like, yeah, we have a date in May, we have another in June. We're like, they've locked down a few dates, but that's all they've done.
And yeah,
I mean, if you think about it too, Black Widow is actually one of the filming next to Guardians of the Galaxy 3 or 4 or whatever they're on now, but I think it's the second last to start filming, so that one probably won't be the first one out of the gate just based on that alone. Plus, they're going to want to start the MCU 4 out with a bang, and or start it out with something that has something to do with the MCU and not something that is a prequel backstory side story to the MCU, because, you know, like, she dead, right?
Yeah.
So, it's going to be a prequel.
And that's what I found weird, was that, yeah, like...
I mean, it's not going to be a sequel with her coming, like, waking up on an alien planet with a concussion?
No.
The rumor is it's a prequel, but it's going to introduce the blonde Black Widow from the comics. I forget her real name.
Huh.
But the villain is supposed to be Taskmaster, which is the part I'm most excited for.
I'd have to see Artemis? No, Taskmaster, the guy with the skull.
Yeah, I know, but isn't Taskmaster's daughter Artemis, who then becomes a of DC. Never mind.
I would love to see, like, the redone, if they do, like, another time travel thing where we get to see Gamora get thrown off the cliff by Thanos, but she lands on Black Widow's corpse, which is still there.
Or her own corpse.
Thanos just looks down and she's like, she's alive because she's landed on a pile of bodies.
So yeah, I did find that weird that, you know, like they made a big thing about the new Spider-Man movie being the end of, what are we in, phase 4? Or no, this phase 3?
Yeah, that was the end of phase 3.
So yeah, it's the end of phase 3, but yet the Black Widow movie is rumored to be coming out May 2020. But then it'll be a prequel, so it's really not kickstarting the next phase at all.
Well, maybe, because like this could be the phase 4, one of the new timelines.
There's no way they're going to do Black Widow first. They're going to start it off deaf. I would say the most likely scenario, in my own opinion, would be Doctor Strange, and then second up would be Black Widow. Like those two films have, as far as I know, have already. But yeah, so Widow hasn't started filming until June or July of this year, whereas Black Panther and Doctor Strange both have started filming. The best of my knowledge, so those more than likely. There's no way they're going to do Black Widow in like film it, edit it, and do all the production stuff and all the CGI in like under a year. There's no way.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like I said, with San Diego Comic-Con coming out, like, we're definitely, I'm imagining they're going to be laying out some definitive plans. But yeah, that was the rumor floating around. And then, of course, yeah, like you said, Doctor Strange 2, we got Black Panther 2, obviously, Captain Marvel 2, and yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, whenever that's supposed to come out, with or without Thor. I'm hoping they have Thor in it. Because another rumor that I heard was that Beta Ray Bill is supposed to be making his appearance in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Oh, yes.
That would make sense.
Well, didn't they have Adam Warlock teased at the end of 2 when,
they did,
the
yep.
when the gold people were talking about the perfect being?
Yeah.
And wasn't Beta Ray Bill more of a Thor character because he gets like a copy of his hammer?
Well, mm-hmm. yeah, but he was also, they had his bust, his visage, thank you. I was going to say that, but I was like, that doesn't seem descriptive enough. they had his bust in Ragnarok, right? Up on the side of the building for What's-His-Fuck?
Oh, yep, yeah, they did.
What was the character's name?
Well, and if you go with the rumor for Guardians 3 that it's going to be called As Guardians of the Galaxy, then you can tie all that in together.
Oh, shit, and you can have, like, the timeline escaped Loki join them.
Well, he's going to be the Disney Plus TV show. Is supposed yeah. to be that timeline displaced Loki.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's
yeah.
Loki in space!
Rumors is going to be like a quantum leap.
Oh, that'd just
kind of cool.
For that.
Just him, going around with the Tesseract.
Yeah.
And he's not the good Loki either, because like this is when he was still an asshole that just invaded Earth. Mm-hmm. So none of that development where he got close to his brother and rehabilitated himself. No, we're dealing with prime asshole Loki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be interesting. Yeah, I was going to mention that as well, that with the TV properties, with the Disney streaming service that's coming out, we have Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Which is going to be amazing, of course.
I'm hoping.
And it could also, that could actually lead to Falcon and Winter Soldier being coming back into the MCU later, with one of them becoming Cap. Obviously, the big rumor is that Falcon will get it, right?
Oh, yeah,
but that would be a good way for him to kind of, you know, do a season or two of that. And then at the end of the show, he becomes the new Captain America, and then boom, Avengers 12, he's, you know, back or whatever, you know what I mean?
There's going to be a What If animated series. So I'm looking forward to that. That would be...
Mike just die? Because I got some champagne waiting to pop for that day.
then there,
dying of joy.
Then there's WandaVision, which is a weird title, I got to admit. So I'm assuming we're getting the Vision back. And Wanda is obviously referring to the Scarlet Witch, I'm assuming. And I believe Elizabeth Olsen's actually, like, I've seen an interview with her somewhere where she's saying that it takes place during the 50s or something.
It's supposed to be like a civil rights analogy of this mixed race, I guess, even though he's a android cyborg.
Well, she's a robosexual, so.
But it's also supposedly what's her name? Agatha Harkness, that was Wanda's, like, witch mentor.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we're going to... I know, like, Satanic Panic was in the
80s. You mean the cow lady from the animated show?
Yeah.
Oh, that was, like, the Wendigorians or something.
Yeah, no. No, I mean, she was straight up, like, 19th century, you know, Salem-looking witch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But immortal, or at least, you know, slow to age.
Hmm. Yeah, I think she was Franklin Richards' like nurse or something, or
I think she was the nanny. I think she was like teaching the little girl how to control her magic, because Franklin has super intelligence and the girl has magic somehow.
Yeah,
I don't know. I haven't followed the Marvel comics that much over the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Doctor Doom messing with Valeria. I think is her name.
Yeah,
yes.
I saw how
that ended, where she like ended up screwing over him. Mm-hmm. Like, he thought that he was manipulating her trust, and she's like, "You're Dr. Doom. I never trusted you."
Yeah. Well, she calls him Uncle Doom. Like, she definitely loves him, I guess. But anyway, we're going off.
What up, Funky D?
Well, you can
adore someone for teaching you stuff as long as you're aware of their faults, and like, he's always going to be evil. So
yeah.
You know, get attached to him, but, you know, at the end, like, always have, like, that plan D in your back pocket when you know he finally goes rogue.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, you got that uncle that, you know, is, you know, an alcoholic and then falls off the wagon. And you're like, knew it was going to happen, but still love the guy.
Well, we mentioned a bunch of sequels, but there's also the rumors of, like, the Doom franchise. Eternals is heavily
like almost confirmed. Shang-Chi is a big rumor. And I swear, if you follow the toys and the cartoons, you can tell what characters they're putting out
into
the public to test or get the public used to it. And I'm convinced Nova is coming.
Oh, the Nova Corps has to come. Yeah, for sure. The other thing, too, that we forgot to mention was the Hawkeye Jr. or Miss Hawkeye TV show as well, right? Where it's rumored that Hawkeye's daughter is going to take up the mantle.
That is a rumor. Yeah. Possible Hawkeye show.
Well, I think the Hawkeye show is confirmed. I think it's a rumor that she's going to take up the mantle, isn't it?
Well, I like to see Cassie become the new Ant Girl.
Yeah, whether it's his daughter or whether it's Kate Bishop coming in.
Yeah.
But either way, they's training someone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if that's confirmed yet. Like, when I looked it up, it said possible. It was just a rumor at the time when I seen it. But, yeah, no, like, yeah, Shang-Chi, the Eternals. And, yeah, I would love a Nova Corps movie, definitely.
Yeah, I felt like they did it wrong when they had it in the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, the Nova Corps didn't act like the Nova Corps in the comics, where they actually can fly around and have powers generated by the Nova Force or the World Mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we saw them flying around acting like Global Cops / superheroes, it would have added something when the Guardians ended up saving their asses. It would have been more impressive, because, like, with all their power, their coordination, to think that they still need the Guardians to help them, that would have, you know, cemented the Guardians' importance, rather than be like, yeah, a bunch of bumpkins with a glowing badge.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from, but I can also see where, if they had, you know, with them wearing the helmets and flying around and stuff, it might have taken away from the Guardians. It would have been, people would have been more interested in seeing them than, you know, seeing what the Guardians were doing. You know, so I think that's why they kind of like put that in the back pocket. You know, we're going to take that out later, and I'm assuming that's where they're going to go with it.
Oh, well, they could just back write it and just be like, well, there's a little bit of power, like enhanced durability and all that spread throughout all everybody. But since Thanos killed almost everybody to get the power stone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they mentioned in Guardians 2, Thanos, pretty much wiped out the Nova Corps on their home world to get that. So you could have a Nova movie where Nova is like the last Nova Corps guardian, and all of their little powers have been combined into him.
Did any of you read Rising Stars from Straczynski years and years ago?
Nope.
I've heard of it, but I never read it.
So one of the ideas is any child that was in utero when this comet, this thing happens, is born with powers. And so they all grow up in the same small town together. They all know each other. Whether you're a hero, villain, somewhere in between, it's still fighting with like someone you went to school with. So there's these connections with all of them. But anyways,
sounds like metahumans.
One of them dies, and all of a sudden, all the other ones feel, just, you know, people die, it just happens. All the other ones feel this power increase. So it turns out there's a limited amount of power evenly distributed between all of them. But once one dies, the power, the same power level needs to be there. So they all get a little more power.
Oh, like Highlanders.
Yeah. So eventually one of them is like, well, if I kill other ones, then I will get more powerful. But if you take that for the Novas, hey, we had all this power evenly distributed. Now that they don't exist, it's down to Richard Rider here, and here's his story.
Yeah. Isn't that also kind of the road that they, I guess, almost seeming to take with Mordo? Because he's just like, I figured out the problem with the world. There's too many sorcerers. I need to be more powerful. So he's like taking their power by killing them. So like in Doctor Strange, they're kind of going that route too a little.
We'd find out in the sequel, because I imagine that's, we get to find out what Mordo's been up to, and, you know, is he ready to take on the Doc?
Yeah.
True.
Well, if you're looking at the things we're talking about here, then it seems like we've kind of stumbled into his phase four, like a quest for power. And if that's the case, then who's our big bad?
Well,
at that point, I think Doom's your best candidate.
Yeah, but how can you go from Thanos to Doom? You know what I mean?
all right, here's, because I didn't know if it was going to come up, but we got to take the Fox ones into account for being brought in. Now, I don't know if you guys picked up on it. In Endgame, there's a line where they say there was an earthquake in the Pacific Ocean.
Yep.
How are you dealing with it? We deal with it by not dealing with it. So yeah. Everyone's wondering if that's a Namor reference.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I figured it was where all the people from Pacific Rim start coming through the little dimension, right? Get a little crossover with Pacific
it's
Rim.
It's a Kaiju going. Rift.
Yeah, Kaiju Rift.
Well, what if Black Panther 2 is subtitled Atlantis Attacks?
Oh, really, Atlantis shit. Versus Wakanda? That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Damn! So happy.
Then, I'll even take it further. Post-credit, T'Challa and Namor have a ceasefire, a detente. Okay, we're not friends, but we're going to destroy each other, so let's stay on the same page. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. We have an agreement here. Every so often, we'll meet. So you go into a room. Here's a meeting. Is everyone here? Everyone's here. There's T'Challa. There's Namor. There's Doctor Strange. Camera pans. You could show the actors. You could just show a scene. Here's Illuminati.
Professor Xavier. Oh, shit.
Professor X.
That'd be kind of cool. Although...
You could just show an arm stretch in a wheelchair. You don't even have to show actors.
Feige has said himself that the X-Men won't be entering the MCU for a very, very long time. And I believe both of those varies are full-on quotes. But also, the other thing with doing, like, Atlantis versus Wakanda is, like, wouldn't that be kind of a little bit sensitive for America? Like, an undersea thing, like a glorious city full of a bunch of white people versus a glorious technologically advanced city full of a bunch of black people. Like,
oh, I thought you,
that'd be a little sensitive for America.
I thought you meant America's problem would be that they don't get attacked because Wakanda's more important.
That could be it too, yeah.
But correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, but aren't Atlanteans blue?
It depends, because Namor is considered a mutant because he's more of a hybrid. And then to go back to my New Warriors love, Namorita turned blue later on.
Mm-hmm.
What? Namorita?
You don't know about his niece, Namorita?
That's his senorita?
Her death was among the few that sparked the Civil War in the comics in the first place.
I know absolutely nothing about Namor whatsoever, other than the fact that he's a jerk.
He is known for being a jerk, yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the only thing I know of him, other than that, and the fact that he's basically an Aquaman ripoff. Although I think it's actually the other way around, but everybody likes Aquaman more, which is kind of ironic, because nobody likes Aquaman.
Yes, yeah.
The wings on the ankles don't help any either.
Yeah, exactly. And that Leonard Nimoy Spock haircut he's got going on.
he soaks his feet in Red Bull.
Well, that's the thing, though. Namor predates Spock, so they might have ripped Namor off.
To go back to point, am I the only U.S. citizen on here?
Yes.
You are, yes.
Okay. Yes. Your good sci-fi shows what's going on at the time, tweaks it enough that you don't immediately recognize it, and makes a point of, hey, this is going on and it's not right. So if you had Wakanda versus Atlantis, and hey, I know your skin color is a little different, but if we keep fighting each other, we're both going to be destroyed. Maybe we should try to find a way to work it out.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It's a great story. Yeah, no, you're right. It's totally a great story. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if a lot of the states would do very well with it, especially them southern states.
Oh, I think
in the southern state.
I think they'd be okay with it. Like Kev said, like, Star Trek's been doing that for years.
I can tell you, Black Panther didn't do well in certain states.
Yeah, I'll bet.
My favorite is, I don't know if you guys saw it went viral, but some marquee in the South had the new movie, Heck Boy.
Yeah, I seen that, yeah. But, okay, well, we've already started, so let's move on to the next point here. And what do we want to see, and what, if any, characters or movies would we like them to revisit? All right, so let's go around the table. I'm going to throw it out there first. Fantastic Four. I want to see Doctor Doom. I want to see Galactus. I've been saying this for years. I want it set in the 60s. I would love to see the hovering Fantastic car which is basically like a flying bathtub that they just all sit in. Herbie. I would love to see Herbie, the old fashioned, you know, like not a modern take on him, but the old version, the Jack Kirby inspired Herbie.
The Kirby Herbie.
Okay, wait a second. Are we talking about like the Herbie with Lindsay Lohan with the CGI reduced breasts,
or
are we
talking STFU. About a different Herbie?
No, we are talking about Herbie the robot.
Oh, you mean like the Fantastic Thing?
The Fantastic.
That little robot in Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
That replaced one of them for a little while?
Yeah. That's yep.
Oh, God, I hate him. Really? No. You want him?
Yeah.
He was amazing.
How many joints have you smoked?
I want the 60s vibe, man. I want to see an old 60s version of a robot.
Hey, Chris, I don't know if you know this, but pot's legal in Canada now. It just takes a couple of blocks to get the 60s vibe going on.
That's absolutely on my
That's perfect.
That's on my wish list.
Fantastic Four would be amazing to come in for Phase 4, just based on the fact that it's Fantastic Four, Phase 4, FF4.
Fantastic Four.
Like, it would be amazing. But, again, it might be too early into the acquisition to really bring them in until at least, like, kind of the end of Phase 4, maybe. Because they still have to, like, they have to get through, like, 18 different drafts of the film.
Okay.
Like, drafts of the script.
Okay.
Everything else,
right? Let's not delve too much into the specifics. This is just our wish list of what we want to see. We don't need the logistics. We don't need the, you know, the breakdown. We don't need to, you know.
I'm a logistical person.
Don't shit on our parade.
I want the Fantastic Four. I want it set in the 60s, and I would like they could bring them into, you know, the modern day as well. Like you could do like a quantum realm thing where, you know, they time. Yeah, I mean Fantastic Four do time travel. That's one of the things they're known for. You know, they could have them come to the future. But
I'll make you visible, baby. Yeah.
But who wants to go next? Who wants to throw something out there? Mike, let's go with you.
Oh, gee, what would any new properties I would like to see in Phase 4?
Or anything revisited. And again, not Phase 4, I'm just talking the future. What do you want to see in the MCU? Doesn't have to be phase. It could be phase 5, phase 6, phase 10. Doesn't matter.
I would like to see how they handle the X-Men because, you know, whenever Marvel gets a property back, they seem to be doing they just do better with it than than the original holder. So, getting Marvel to get their hands on the Fantastic Four would be guaranteed great. Yeah. And seeing them do like a consistent X-Men, like it would just, you know, the X-Men's were kind of here, there, hit and miss. Like you don't seem to have much love for the newest one. So it would be great to just, if they could find a way to like, aren't they going to be integrating Deadpool into the MCU, but a different Deadpool, like one of those timeline altered Deadpools?
It's possible. I'm not sure.
That's what I would like to see, like, because like the MCU is like always trying to avoid the hard R. So a PG-13 Deadpool existing while also Fox having the R-rated Deadpool, so you get the best of both worlds, that everybody gets a Deadpool. I kind of like that idea, especially since being Deadpool, he can comment on like, "Well, I'm not going to cut your head off. That's for the other universe." I mean, that would just be gross and inappropriate. We got to keep this PG.
Or it could be that Deadpool's always been there and he just wasn't part of it. Like, now that they own the rights, I'm not going to give out any specific spoilers. But the mid-credits scene in Spider-Man brought a character from a previous Marvel movie that wasn't in the MCU into the MCU. So it's possible that they might do it.
The finale of Deadpool 1, they don't call it by name, but that takes place on a S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, he's already kind of unofficially there.
Yeah, so it would be nice to have an MCU Deadpool, especially that he could comment on the Fox Universe Deadpool.
Yeah, well, and I love in Deadpool 2 when he calls Cable Thanos.
Like, that was so good.
Yeah, that was awesome. All right, Rich, what would you like to see brought into the MCU?
Or revisited? I want to see. I definitely want to see Hulk revisited more, or visited more,
yes.
Or you know, just a little bit more of him. Maybe Red Hulk, maybe Gray Hulk. I don't care. We just need more Hulk
with Ruffalo. I'm assuming.
I mean, yes, but you don't really need him now that you've got CGI, and I'm sure they signed him into like one hell of a contract where they can use his likeness even if he's not there. Like, it's all CGI
yep.
with him for the most part, especially now that he's Dr. Hulk or Banner Bulk or whatever the fuck they're going to call
him. You need his voice now that he's like a verbal Hulk instead of like a scream monster. You
can get an impersonator. If Trevor Noah could do a bang on Trump, then I'm sure they can find somebody that could do that. But I mean, that's definitely needed. And as far as like new characters that could come in and like really, you know, set something off, I think Sentry would be really cool.
Yeah, I get,
he's got some pretty cool shit, and he's like way OP. So,
yeah,
like,
well, he's also a basket case, so you gotta.
Yeah, but I mean, like you could cover him
that angle where he's schizophrenic.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, you could have him versus the other way overpowered person being Captain Marvel, right? Or something like that. Also, the world needs more basket cases in the movies. Everybody needs representation. Weren't you the one that said that, Mike?
Yeah, but I wasn't talking about, like, the mentally deranged.
Well, you know what? They have feelings, too. And some of them are even more sensitive than yours.
No, Sentry would be awesome. I could definitely see them doing something with that in that angle, and just
that would be such a dark, sad movie.
Yeah, but
I mean,
it would really be good.
Fit the way that they have it now, but they could do it well. Like, they could make him kind of a kooky basket case instead of like a deranged basket case. You know what I mean?
They got Deadpool for that.
Well, even
no, I mean, Fox has Deadpool for that.
No matter what movie you put Sentry in, if you had the whole movie build up to the void is coming, this big battle with the void, and then you have the reveal in the third act, people that don't know the comics would go nuts.
I don't know what you're talking about, and I'd probably go nuts. Unless you're talking about Aquaman and the Void, in which case I know what you're talking about.
That's except the, I don't think that's it's called the Trench, void. Isn't it?
Damn it! Yes, it's the Trench. See, you're right.
Were you thinking about the Marianas Void?
Yeah, great band.
I just want to piggyback onto Rich's Hulk. I totally agree. I would love to see more Hulk. But one of my nominees for, you know, main villain, like we mentioned, Doctor Doom, like who's going to be the next
Wolverine
big bad
versus Hulk?
Who's going to be the next Thanos? I want to see the Maestro. And that is the future future evil version of the Hulk.
Really?
From Future Imperfect. Yeah, I would love to see a Future Imperfect movie where they actually bring the Professor Hulk to the future to fight his evil self, like his evil future self.
Oh yeah, Hulkolo has to fight his future.
Whoa. Remember he looks badass.
Avengers post-credit when they're showing that Chitauri Captain or whatever is walking up these steps to Thanos' throne, and you don't know it's Thanos yet, you just see this throne in space, and then he turns around. Similar, but it's Maestro's trophy room.
Yes! I would love to see the trophy
things, room. And then the reveal.
Okay. Oh, and I'm going through Google Images right now, and I just passed his trophy room with his little throne and everything, and oh my gosh.
Okay.
So, like, so also him versus Old Man Logan, that's a thing? Like, oh my gosh, I need to get
on. That came later, but I'm telling you, Rich, if you've never read Future Imperfect, you got to check it out. It's probably the best Hulk story they've ever done. It is awesome.
I don't know, man. You're also the person telling me that there's a better redhead than Donna out there, so I don't know if I can trust your opinion anymore.
Yeah, but you look at Jumanji, man. You even said yourself, that's her?
But just because she's hotter than Donna doesn't mean she's better. Jesus. Beauty's only skin deep, Chris.
The several seasons where she was an amazing... She was more than just eye candy on that show.
Yeah.
That is what makes her better.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm against both of you.
But, no, yeah, I would love to see the Maestro. All right, Kevin, what do you want to see or want them to revisit?
All right, for those of you that don't know, I consider myself the world's biggest Speedball fan, and I was very upset when the new Warriors...
Isn't that illegal? I don't think you should be saying that out loud, dude. You're in the States.
There's actually a joke in the comics where he introduces himself to She-Hulk, says, "I'm Speed Paul," and she's like, "Lay off the drugs, kid."
That's awesome. Oh, who's your sidekick, Dimebag?
No, he died on stage, remember? It was terrible.
Oh, too soon.
But there was rumors for a New Warrior show on Freeform. It never happened, but supposedly some of them are still under contract, so it could. It will never happen just because of how the character, what's gone on with the characters. But West Coast Avengers had some great story arcs. And I would love to see the Mockingbird murder debate, but because of her, not as Mockingbird, but that character's on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Hawkeye's married, it'll never happen. But what could happen would be a great movie, very easily done, is Kraven's Last Hunt.
Oh.
Nice. Oh, yep.
But that's also Sony, and they seem to only be content with bringing Spider-Man into the universe because everything else, they're all like, no, we're going to keep it for ourselves. It's not fair.
No logistics. Right. That would be amazing. No logistics, well, Rich.
Here's an interesting thing. There's a footnote in the Sony Spider-Man deal. Mm-hmm. If Sony is ever sold, Marvel gets everything back.
If Sony... Motion Pictures or Sony as a umbrella company?
If someone wanted to buy Sony's copyrights, like for their own streaming network, that does not include Spider-Man. All of it reverts back to Marvel.
Interesting.
So if you were someone looking to expand your streaming content, launch your own thing, like, oh, I don't know, Apple, and you're looking to buy up content...
Or anybody else, for that matter, like Comcast, AOL, or WB.
It all goes back to Marvel.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Since we're talking a little bit of logistics here, I just want to throw it out
there. No logistics, Chris.
The Hulk, the reason why we're not seeing a Hulk film is because the rights are still tied in with Universal. So,
also, every time Hulk got his own movie, it sucked.
Well, that too, but... Yeah. That's why they've never, like, why Planet Hulk was kind of featured in Ragnarok, sort of. That's why they may not be doing a Hulk movie anytime soon, because the rights are still intertwined with Universal. And by the sounds of it,
a World War Hulk movie would be great.
Yes, that and Future Perfect. I would love to see those films. But that's the thing, like, they could technically do, like, a world, they'd have to call it something else, though.
They'd have to do a Planet Hulk first, then World War Hulk. Because,
Hulk at this point? Like, they've already technically sort of kind of done it, right?
Well, no, he was just in space, so he's in space again.
And on top of that, they already did 100% do it as an animated film. So, I mean, like,
Yeah, but, you know, a movie they can do better.
Yeah. But yeah, anything's possible. Anything's possible. All right, well, let's go around the table one more time. If we have any more wish lists, let's throw them out there. I'd love to see a Moon Knight movie and or TV show. One of the reasons why I would love to see this as a movie, I'd love to see the Brian Michael Bendis version of Moon Knight, where you think he's a hero, but then he's actually kind of crazy. And I know that's been done before with other writers with Moon Knight. But in this, the Brian Michael Bendis version, it starts out like he's with Spider-Man and Captain America and Wolverine. And they're like a special Avengers team. And then at the end of the first issue, you realize that Cap, Spider-Man, and Wolverine aren't actually there. They're just voices in his head. And then he actually can take on their personas as well. So, like, he dresses up as Spider-Man and pretends to be Spider-Man, but he can't do it, so, you know, he fucks it up a lot. Like, I think I think it would be both hilarious and interesting. And it would also delve into the mental illness aspect of Moon Knight. Like, he's not, firing on all cylinders. He's, got some issues. So if they did that as a movie, you could have like Tom Holland potentially guest star, or Chris Evans. You know, you could get those guys in there possibly. But if they did it,
I think they should have him played by Owen Wilson.
That would be a good casting choice. Or they could do it as a TV or they could do it as a TV series and have it more street level. Which,
if he had different actors portraying the characters we know, like Luke Wilson, like Owen Wilson as Captain America, because that's how he sees them, that would be great. All these distorted knockoff actors of the people we know.
Start writing that script.
You just got to stand up for your country, man. It's just like not cool to be into fascism and bullies and drugs.
That would
bring Ed Norton as Banner.
And then Speedball comes
or you could bring Nicolas Cage in as Tony Stark and stuff like that. That would be awesome.
Oh man, that'd be great. I think that sounds like a good Disney Plus show.
Yeah, or a film, like, you know, because on a film budget you could probably get all these big actors. Whereas Disney Plus,
I mean, like, with Disney Plus though, you could keep it going. Even if they weren't like AA actors, you could keep that going for a while and get like a lot of like either lower actor, like Nick Cage would do that for friggin' scale. He would do that just, like, he wouldn't even ask for anything. They'd just be like, hey, you want to come on and play this famous character for, like, half an episode? And he'd be like, yeah, I'll be right there.
Do you want to be some psycho's hallucination for half an hour on set?
I'm already doing that in real life.
With the Disney streaming service, though, if it works out the way they're planning, they could do, like, transition from movie to TV show to movie again, like what they're doing with, you know, The Falcon, WandaVision, Loki.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's possible. Like, you could do a Moon Knight movie and then do a TV show.
They don't need it to work out.
Yeah,
they've got so much money that they don't even need it to work. Like, they could have two subscribers to Disney Plus, and it could outlast all of us.
That is
true. I would just love to see Moon Knight seeing Chris Rock as Nick Fury.
That would be interesting. All right, so a couple more on my lightning round. I would love them to bring Jamie Alexander back as Lady Sif. I'd love to see her have her own Disney Plus show or a movie. I always loved Lady Sif. Unfortunately, she's doing that TV show, whatever it's called.
Tattooed
Blind Spot or something.
Yeah,
there we go. So yeah, that's why she hasn't been in like the last Thor movie. She has been doing anything like that. So I'd love them to bring her back.
I hope she gets paid a lot for that crap.
And I would also like, once they get this Netflix shit figured out, I want them to bring Luke Cage back. I loved Mike Coulter as Luke
Defenders
Cage.
In general. All of them.
Yeah, like, well, Charlie...
Daredevil,
really, they were all great, except for Iron Fist kind of sucked. In my opinion, I didn't think it was that
good. Well, the series sucked, but him as a character in The Defenders wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Like, if you took his TV show out of it and just watched The Defenders, he was pretty good.
That is true,
yeah. But if you watched his show, then you were like,
Luke Cage getting into the movie universe, that would be a little bit of justice. Him and Daredevil.
With that actor, though, with the same actor.
Yes, I definitely, all of them. Like, Charlie Cox is great. Even, you know, the guy who played Iron Fist was great, I thought. And of Jessica Jones, she was perfect. You know, I would love to see them
Avatar on Netflix right now.
I would love to see them continue on either in films or in the Disney streaming, like once they get all that shit or worked out with Netflix rather than recasting. All right. So Mike, any more on your list?
I guess like the Planet Hulk and World War Hulk, that would be great. Because, I mean, we've seen Hulk helping everybody in so many movies. To have him come back to Earth angry, believing that people on Earth wiped out his newfound home, and he is out to just devastate everybody, seeing all of Earth's heroes trying to stand up to the Hulk and realizing all those times that we kind of put him down, he let us. This time he has righteous fury and an army. So... like one of my favorite lines in the comics was when the Ghost Rider tried, Johnny Blaze came to him as Ghost Rider, but he beat Johnny Blaze so much that he knocked him unconscious, and all that was left was the demon, who instantly gave the Hulk a soul stare and then just walked away because he judged him as innocent. And Doctor Strange was watching the whole thing through the astral plane, and he's like, wait a second, Hulk's rampage is justified? Are we the bad guys? So, like, seeing that on the big screen would be great.
Yep.
Excellent. Rich?
Other than the impossibility of seeing X-Men stories in the near future, because obviously that will come in the near future, the other impossibility I would like to wish for in the lightning round is for Marvel, with all of its Disney backing and money, to buy DC, and then we could get some amalgam comic characters in there, like maybe a little bit of Dark Claw, Super Soldier,
Bruce
Spider
Wayne,
Boy.
Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Was that an amalgam thing?
Yeah, Bruce Wayne, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't remember that one.
One of the cool villains was the Big Question, which was Kingpin and Riddler combined.
Oh, amazing. I love amalgam comics. Chris, do an amalgam comics episode. Let's do it.
All right, I'm going to put that on the list. Amalgam.
I love the sequel that they did when they did a second saga of amalgam comics, and Wonder Woman finds Spider-Man, and she ties him up in the golden lasso, and he looks at Mary Jane and he goes, I swear I'm not into this.
That's too funny.
Nice. All right, Kevin, any on your list, sir?
I got two things. One, we do need a Stan Lee replacement. And my choices are either Deadpool, just randomly popping up, saying a one-liner and disappearing, or Kevin Smith.
Oh, I'm going to go with Kevin Smith because he's my hero.
Kind of like, because if you go for Stan Lee being the greatest mascot the comics ever had, I think for in the mainstream person, Kevin Smith's the closest that exists to that today.
I would agree with that personally.
I was just going to say, not to give too much away. Again, we are going to talk about Spider-Man later on. But there was, in the mid-credits scene, in the mid-credits scene, there was a character there. I'm almost thinking I would like that character to be the cameo guy going forward. But anyway, sorry, Kevin, continue.
No, you're fine. The other thing is, I think the great secret and appeal of the Marvel movies is, and when people are like, oh, are superhero movies over? No, because the superhero movie is not, it's its own thing now. It'd be like saying our comedy's over, our horror's over, our drama's over.
Its own thing now. It's going to be its own thing forever,
Yeah, but Marvel's trick is, like, Winter Soldier is a spy movie that happens to have superheroes. Ant-Man is Ocean's 11 that happens to have superheroes.
Yeah.
And I think what we need is a comedy movie that happens to have superheroes.
Well, isn't that Thor Ragnarok and Spider-Man Far From Home?
I'd like to see Damage Control.
That would be good.
Oh, isn't that the show, like they were going to do that show and then it, they were going to do like a DC version of that show and then it morphed into that Powerless thing?
Yeah,
Powerless show. Like that's what they were like, yeah, let's do that Damage Control type of thing. And then they were like, no, let's just do Powerless. Like, I feel like that's what happened with that.
And because of that failing, Damage Control as it was never happened.
Yeah, although...
Didn't Tony Stark make Damage Control?
There's a Damage Control reference actually in Hope...
Spider-Man.
It's Damage Control that shows up and takes everything away from Michael
Vulture. Yeah, and it was headed by Tony Stark. Like, he decided, I destroy these buildings, and then I create the company that cleans them up. Make money on both ends.
Kind of seems like a certain president we know.
Oh, we got big parade tomorrow. Big parade. So
all for me. Thank you. I'm the greatest.
You're welcome for existing. You're welcome.
Anyway,
I'm just here to make money.
Damage Control. That does sound good. That does sound good.
Chris is on Damage Control now.
right now.
All right, so before we move on...
We need to keep our bigots!
before we move on to Spider-Man, I asked you guys, and you guys don't have to participate, what's your top five Marvel movies and your top five least favorite Marvel movies? Does everyone want to partake in this?
I'll wing it.
Okay.
I could just come up with one bad one, really. Everything else is kind of on par for me.
Yeah, well,
I have
the best one is
all notes. So,
all right,
always the one that I've.
Well, I just want to, before we say any, before we move on, to the list, I just want to say that I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe. These movies are all fantastic. Like, even the less one, like the ones that don't shine as bright are still good movies, right? Out of the 22 movies, not including Spider-Man, that just was released, out of the 22 movies that they've done, there's really only one that I think is bad. You know, as far as my opinion, there's 21 either good or great movies, and there's only one bad one.
I think we're going to agree on it.
But that being said, I did come up with a list of my favorites based on just, you know, personal reasons. All right, well, let's start off with the worst. Number one on your guys' list. And, Kevin, we'll start with you. What's your worst Marvel movie?
So, little preface on this. When Endgame came out, different podcasts I was listening to informed me of this site where two movies will come up and they'll say, would you rather watch this movie or this movie? And you click on the one, go through it a few times, and then at the end it ranks them all based on which one you picked and all of these choices of two.
That's intriguing.
So it ended up ranking all the Marvel movies for me.
Nice.
So at the very bottom I had The Incredible Hulk.
I agree with that.
Oh, wow.
I
was not expecting that.
Mike, number one worst on your list?
Thor 2.
Yes.
Like, it had some good points, but overall, like, after the impressive debut, the bad guy is elves.
Ending credits?
Yeah, the bad guy is elves. Like, didn't you learn anything from Hellboy 2?
Elves and some ether.
And Rich, that's the same as you? It's Thor 2?
Oh, yeah, totally. Let's fight a big blob of fucking blood, like stupid.
Well, hey, you shut up. It worked for Blade.
Fair. I'm honestly, that is number two on my worst list.
It was number two on mine when I did this, too.
Why didn't any of us want Blade in the MCU? Just real quick.
Blade's not an MCU movie.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, for the wish list, nobody asked for Blade. Nobody wants Wesley Snipes to come back?
Well, nah, I'm good.
Has he paid his taxes yet?
Hey, your president hasn't, and that, hey, there you go.
Oh, snap. Okay, number two.
Yeah, the Thor the Dark World, let's talk about the Hulk first. The reason why it's number one on my list, I got a few reasons here. The Incredible Hulk clearly is the worst. The casting was terrible, I thought, except for William Hurt as General Thunderbolt Ross. I thought he was perfectly cast, and I love the fact that they brought him back in Civil War, and then he was in Infinity War, and you saw him in Endgame as well. So I thought he was great. Perfect casting. It was cool to have RDJ make a cameo in that film. It was awesome that they, you know, tied it in to Iron Man. But the CGI was just shit. Like, it's like when you look at Thanos from Infinity War and Endgame, and then you look at the Hulk, or you
also
look at
12 years difference, dude.
Yeah, I know, but it's yeah, like if it wasn't ready, it you shouldn't have done it. Like, I mean, the Hulk,
but it
from
was 12 years difference.
The Hulk from
Jurassic Park was great CGI in the 90s. Okay, yeah. So no excuses.
But that was CGI mixed with practical.
But the Hulk, also, but compare the Hulk to Hulk and Avengers though. That's only 4 years.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it was just bad. And like Mark Ruffalo, I think might have saved it. Like one of the things I've learned is the director, I don't know who it was, but apparently he wanted Mark Ruffalo in that role. And Marvel was like, no, we want Edward Norton, because they thought Edward Norton would bring people to the movies, right? Like, in the way that Robert Downey Jr. brought people in to see Iron Man. You know, the name recognition. Edward Norton was a bigger name than Mark Ruffalo. And then when things fell through with, what's his name, Edward Norton, they brought Mark Ruffalo in.
I think he's the best part of that movie, personally.
Yeah, I liked Eric Bana better, like from the Ang Lee 2003 movie. I thought he was a better Bruce Banner than Edward Norton.
Jeez, just have another one in my back.
Do you guys remember the Apple Newton?
The witch?
Yes, I owned one.
All right, I'm going somewhere with this. The Apple Newton.
Eat up Martha.
Eat up Martha. There were jokes, and it didn't work, and it did this wrong and did that wrong and all. But fact is, if that didn't exist, the iPhone and the iPad wouldn't exist. It had to exist to be learned from, to be studied, to move on. We need to do this so we can then create this other thing later on. And that's Incredible Hulk. We had to make this movie. We had to get it out to learn lessons from it for the next MCU movie and the next and the next.
That is true, yeah.
So even though, it's either worse or second worst for pretty much everyone's list, it's sort of necessary to be there so the other ones could be as high as they are.
The necessary F-up.
Totally agree. But okay, so Mike and Rich, you guys had Thor the Dark World as your number one. What was your reasoning?
It's crap.
Again,
I don't think it needs a reason. Isn't it self-explanatory?
Elves are the bad guys. Yeah, I mean, again, Hellboy told you, you don't do that.
Well, the thing with the elves, though, like, it's number two on my list, so I'm not saying that it's great or anything. It's not. But it's Malekith, right? Like, that's the main elf, I believe?
Yes.
In the comic books, at least the one I read, written by Jason Aaron, he did an arc with Malekith. Malekith in that arc was more... His personality was very akin to the Joker, where he was like, yeah, this menacing guy who got thrills and laughs off of, screwing over Thor, so whereas Christopher Eccleston, who played Malekith, played a more serious and straight-laced, and he just wasn't a good villain. And I'm not knocking him as an actor or anything. I'm just saying, like, what he had to work with. I think if they would have played Malekith more like they did in the comic books, I think it would have helped the movie for sure.
Certainly, good thing they didn't play him more like Doctor Who, because he would have fucked that up too.
Ooh, not a Christopher Eccleston fan. But yeah, no, that's
shots fired.
That's yeah. So, Thor of the Dark World. Yeah,
of course you realize this means war.
Okay, so do you guys want to go through your whole worst lists, or should we just move on to what our picks for top?
I got no other worsts personally.
Okay.
Yeah, Thor 2 and Hulk were my big stinkers of the bunch.
Maybe whichever one you think is the best, but other than that, yeah.
Okay, so let's go. Let's go with what's your favorite Marvel movie? And Kevin, number one on your list of your favorite Marvel movie thus far.
It's one of those ones that's going to depend on the day. Endgame is still huge because I haven't seen it 100 times because it's not out, to own yet. So it still has a certain mystique to it, even though I saw it. Avengers, man, I had tears in my eyes when Avengers came out. I couldn't believe I was seeing this. to grow up reading comics, I could not believe I was sitting in the theater watching Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Was stunned. But, you know, my kid watches all the movies now. And every so often there will be a movie that's the movie. You know, he, as soon as it stops, he wants it playing again.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, I end up seeing it multiple times and knows and stuff and all. But, geez, Captain America First Avenger might be one of the best movies I've ever seen. And
nice.
The more and more I watch it, the more and more stuff I see from the acting, from the build, from little hints, from teases, everything. Him jumping on the grenade is one of the best movie scenes and just instant character development. Who is Captain America? That right here, that 2 minutes of screen time is everything.
Not to mention the Benjamin Button-ass shit they did too, right?
Yeah, that was
like
pretty
making
cool.
Making him skinny and then making him big or whatever, like that was like very technically advanced for the time.
I love those memes that had work. I love the memes with where people are like putting pictures, like if Rob Liefeld had directed Captain America, where he's like super massive, but he's still got his tiny head.
Yeah,
and no feet.
Yeah, good old Liefeld.
Isn't Rob Liefeld the guy that put pockets on everything?
Yeah,
he's a poach guy.
I mean, him.
Pockets on everything and feet on nobody.
And Levi jeans too for some reason.
And don't ask him to do a side profile. He cannot draw a side profile to save his life.
How did he get hired? You think like, okay, we need someone who's like a well-rounded individual who's like at least like taken some lessons from like drawing the Marvel method.
To be honest, like. And we're going on a bit of a tangent. Like back in the 90s, like he was something different. Something like like back then it was like the big pouches, the big guns. That was in. But to me, like most artists,
in because he made it.
Well, most artists seem to get better. Like their craft gets better as time goes on. Liefeld gets worse. Like his stuff in the 90s was better than what he does now. You know,
he's still doing stuff? Jesus.
He does, and well,
Corey, you're not familiar with what the hell's his name? Major X.
Major X, yeah.
Looking it up right now.
Oh, yeah. Who apparently is the son of Cable and Storm or something? Anyway,
yeah.
But all right.
He doesn't have any pockets.
Mike,
got like 18 million abs though.
Your favorite Marvel movie?
You know, I may still be riding high off of it, but I gotta say Spider-Man Far From Home.
Really? Nice.
He's just saying that because I took him on a date.
It was all romantic and
he held my hand. It was really sweet.
It's really sweaty, not sweet.
It's only one letter away.
Did he walk you to the front door and then give you a kiss?
Well, he gave me a ride home. So,
oh, okay.
Then I kicked him out of my car.
Yeah, I'm not gonna slow it down. Just roll with it.
You knew what this was.
Ask grass or cash, buddy.
So,
and
I had to say,
all this time, I thought Alanis Morissette was making up Canadian movie theater experiences.
So this one, like, yeah, it was like Thor 3 level of absurdity, laughs per minute. What?
That's what I said. I had to convince you that was the thing to say when we were at the movie. Not... And now you're stealing my fucking line? You're a dick.
I'm not. I'm never taking you to a movie again.
Yeah.
Like,
straight up, why you always be putting me on the grill, man?
You know, two people can have the same thoughts.
Well,
no, they can't.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you really enjoyed the movie. That's fantastic.
Yeah, like just so many laughs per minute. It was just fucking.
I also thought it was great. Number one on my list, and it might be like you were saying, riding high and everything. Avengers Endgame. I measure a movie by how it makes me feel, you know, like Avengers Endgame honestly made me cry, you know, some of the scene, like the opening scene, like, it didn't make me cry, but it shocked me. You know, being a father, I can only imagine what it would be like if your family, like, just disappeared. You know, to kind of get into Hawkeye's mindset and think about what he, you know, had to deal with. You know, all the emotional beats, you know, like Scarlett Johansson dying. You know, Cap wielding Mjolnir, you know, like the theater just burst into cheers when that happened. You know, seeing Iron Man die, you know, Cap dancing with Peggy at the end. You know, like, it was just an emotional roller coaster. And that's how I gauge my movies, is how they hit me. And Endgame really hit me. It was, yeah. And it was, honestly, it was a payoff. You know, like, as a MCU fan, you know, you sat through all these movies. You know, like, I made, you know, the trips to the theater. I, you know, I bought the Blu-rays. You know, I've invested, you know, time, money into this franchise. And Endgame really delivered in regards to, like, fan service and in regards to, you know, hitting all the beats that they needed to hit. You know, like, if you've never watched a Marvel movie and you went and watched Avengers Endgame, you definitely wouldn't feel what I felt, right? Because, you know, you would get all the little references. You would get the, you know, why is Robert Redford there? You know, why is Michelle Pfeiffer standing there not saying anything? You would understand all that stuff, right?
They were in the movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who the fuck did they play?
Robert Redford. Are you trolling me, or you seriously don't know?
No, I think I have a brain fart happening.
Robert Redford was he was in Winter Soldier. He was the bad guy. And then you see him trying to take the Tesseract, like, from Tony, and then, you know, Ant-Man pulls his pin, and then he's, like, having a heart attack. Thor saves him. What's his name? Pierce. Secretary Pierce? That was Robert Redford.
Oh.
And then Michelle Pfeiffer was standing there at Tony's funeral with Ant-Man and with Michael Douglas and Evangeline Lilly. Like, all the Ant-Man people. So, yeah.
She was from Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Did you not see Ant-Man?
Yeah, but I don't know what she looks like anymore, dude. Last time I saw her, she was still good-looking.
Well, she's still good-looking.
What do you mean was? You mean is.
Yeah, she still is. So, anyway, that's Avengers Endgame. Yeah, that's my number one. Rich.
Wait till you guys figure out who the kid at the funeral is.
I didn't know. I did not figure that out the first time I saw it.
Not the first time. Yeah, no.
The second time, I clued in. I was like, "Oh, okay, that's kid from Iron Man 3." Rich, your number one movie.
I mean, I'm gonna have to go with Mike and say that it may be because I just saw it, but I would have to say it's a real toss up between Spider-Man Far From Home and Thor Ragnarok, because they both had an amazing amount of Snickers per second, mm-hmm. which is my new thing since Mike stole my old thing. He's a dick. So Snickers per second, you were on the edge of your seat. Just everything about the movie was there. It had every single thing you needed in a movie. The only thing it didn't have was that crying moment, and that could have been because I, as the guy on the date, like, I didn't want to cry in front of my girl. You know what I mean?
I don't put off for pussies.
Exactly. See, so there's a reason for it. But I have to say it would be a toss up between those, probably, Spider-Man pulling me, and then in a distant third, I would have to put Captain Marvel.
Really? Nice. Now that we've done the lists, I think this could be the time, dear listener, if you want to check out, because we will start talking about Spider-Man now. All right. We are in spoiler territory. If you're still listening, you have been warned. Thank you, Kevin, for sticking with us. Like I said, you haven't seen it, but you're willing to be spoiled, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's it actually goes back to Avengers. I knew the end scene. My now wife, I can't remember if we were still if we were dating or if we were married yet. Just I can't remember the year Avengers came out off the top of my head.
Let her hear this.
2012. No, I didn't remember what year Avengers came out.
2012.
I knew it was coming, and I thought, she knows who Thanos is, but she's not totally familiar. So we actually rewatched a couple episodes of the Silver Surfer cartoon the week before that we saw the movie, and I said, just for the heck of it. So when the reveal came, she's like, oh my god, I remember who he is, and then Infinity Gauntlet and everything, and it mattered. And I got such a thrill out of seeing her react to it that ever since I'm like, I want to know what's coming. I want to know what's coming ahead of time just to see, you know, to be immersed in the crowd reaction for it.
All right, cool. Well, going into this film, for me, I actually didn't, aside from seeing the trailers and stuff, I didn't actually know a lot about what was going on. I knew that Mysterio was being portrayed as a hero. So right then I knew, yeah, that's not going to happen. But I went to it today with my wife, who doesn't read comics and doesn't know Mysterio from, you know. So after the movie, when I asked her about it, I'm like, did you realize that he was actually the villain? She's like, no, I didn't know that until it happened. So it was awesome that they did that switcheroo for people that don't know. But, I really, really enjoyed it. You know, I don't know where I would rank it yet. I got to see it a few more times. But, like the guys were saying, it was funny. The action was great. Special effects were great. Yeah, it was just a great film. Was there a Stan Lee cameo, or did I miss it?
No.
I didn't see one.
Okay. There was not one. I just looked up on Wikipedia, and his cameos were just up to Endgame.
Okay, because, yeah, that was... I had read somewhere that... First I read that he did one for Far From Home. Then I read somewhere that they did a bunch of... Like, they shot a bunch of different stuff with Stan... that they were going to insert into future movies.
Oh, it just would have been really smart of them to do that.
No, I
they did.
Yeah, I think that they did, but for whatever reason, they're not using them. I'm not sure what's going on. But, when I watched the movie, I was like, did I miss him somewhere? Like, I wouldn't think I would. Rich, your thoughts on Far From Home.
Insert sound of a 12-year-old girl squealing, basically. Amazing. I dropped out, didn't I?
No, we caught all that.
Oh.
No, we're just listening intently.
No, you just mentally dropped out.
Well, that happened the same day. Anyway, it was really, really good. I absolutely loved it. There was so many laugh out loud moments. It was amazing, except my date was a little louder than I was, so that was distracting. it was amazing. Like, I really can't fault it for pretty much anything. I don't think I could. I mean, just seeing it once, I don't think I can find a single flaw with the film that I that hung on me. It was perfect, beginning to end, as far as I'm concerned.
One of the things I noticed was in some of the trailers that I've seen, there were certain things in the trailers that weren't in the movie, like the one trailer where, you know, he's stopping a robbery and there's cops there, and then he says something about, you know, I'm always doing your, you know, when they ask him, are you going to be the next Iron Man? They're like, he's like, no, I'm too busy doing your job. And then later, like, whoa! And then there's also the scene where he's shopping for stuff from his trip. Like, he goes to that store he always goes to, and he's talking to that guy, and they have that exchange. That wasn't in there either. But from what I understand, and I just found this out, all the stuff that we saw in the trailers that we didn't see in the movie is actually going to be in a short film. A short film, I guess. On the Blu-ray when it's released. So you're going to actually see Peter Parker preparing for his trip to Europe.
Why wouldn't they just add it in as a director's cut? Like, that seems kind of silly to put it in and as a short film. They should just add it into the actual movie and make it, well, you know, now 12 minutes more.
It would distract
from the plot.
Yeah, like, that's why the director said they cut that out. He said, I just wanted to get them to Europe. You know, he felt it would drag if they hit, and I don't know if they want to do a director's cut. Like he said, they're going to put all this into a short film because I think there's other stuff that they cut that he's going to put into this as well. Which I'm okay with. Yeah, I think that's cool.
Pictures released of actors or still, you know, set photos. I go into it and it was amazing and I love it. And I do that for every single Marvel movie. I go into it cold, like all the Star Wars movies, like anything big, huge movies. I don't watch anything, I don't read anything, and I don't look at anything. So I feel like that's also a fair portion of why I feel that I get a little bit more out of movies than the average person, because, I mean, trailers these days ruin so much of the movie that you're not surprised anymore.
Well, that's one thing I'll say about Marvel, though, is their trailers don't. Like, their trailers are misleading. Like I said, all the stuff that I saw in the trailers, I didn't see in the movie. So it wouldn't have spoiled it at all for me. And actually,
and they never put the best stuff in the trailers. They put awesome stuff in the trailers, but the best stuff was in the trailers.
Well, and they changed things too. Like in the trailer, it's Spider-Man's wearing his old uniform, his old costume, but in the movie he's wearing the Iron Spider costume, which he got from Tony
for 2 seconds.
But that's the thing. Like when the first trailer was released was, you know, months before Endgame came out, right? So the speculation was maybe Far From Home actually takes place before the snap, so it doesn't take place after Endgame. So there was a lot of speculation floating around because Marvel changed things up. You know, they purposely misled people in the trailers, which I think is awesome. Because, again, like you say, Rich, like, you don't want to know too much going in. But I can say, like, when you watch these Marvel trailers, you know, they might totally lead you in the wrong direction. And I think that's awesome.
I'd rather
be
led in no direction, personally.
But, I mean, for people that do want to look at stuff,
yeah,
right?
No, for sure. No, that's brilliant of them to do that, definitely.
It's like when they did the Infinity War trailer, like you saw Hulk running with Captain America and stuff in Wakanda, and of course that never happened, right? So, you know, Marvel has this knack of misleading, and I think it's awesome that they, you know, the stuff that I mentioned that wasn't in the movie, that they're gonna recycle that and put that on the Blu-ray. I think.
Yeah, you think Spider-Man has to come into his own, and then they just come out of nowhere and throw, hey, by the way, there's these glasses that give you an army of drones, because despite this other mystery kid that nobody knew showing up at the funeral, Tony's decided you're going to be the heir apparent. So there was some neat twists and misleads.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Mysterio being a hero, and, like, not even, like, choosing his own name was pretty darn good. And, again, seeing Nick Fury actually taking an active role in the movie
Initiative? Initiative? Get it?
And then at the end, when, again, integrating Captain Marvel's actions when the Skrulls show up at the very end.
And that was post-credit sequence number 2, right?
Mm-hmm. No, that was post-credit sequence number 1. Because post-credit sequence number 2 was his big global outing.
That was mid-credits.
That was the mid-credit one?
Yep.
Yeah. The second one was the Skrulls, dude. Come on now.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, so my question... Okay, now the cat's out of the bag. We've talked about the...
Yeah, what's this character you've been talking about the whole time? Because I'm in the dark completely about what the fuck you've been talking about this whole episode.
It's pretty obvious. J. Jonah Jameson. J.K. Simmons.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. Me and Mike, we exploded in the theater, and I'm pretty sure...
We lost our shit when he showed up.
The Tobey Maguire, J. Jonah Jameson, is in the MCU. Man, that was awesome. And
he lost half his hair. Snap.
He is older, you know, but it's still J. Jonah. But I'm almost thinking that he might be the cameo guy now. Like, I'm thinking, like, mid-credit scenes now, he'll be doing, like, because he's doing, like, a internet Daily Bugle rant.
He could show up on anybody's phone. Like, someone could be on the bus, and they'll just be watching their phones, and you'll see, like, J. Jonah Jameson, like, ah, this friggin' guy wielding a hammer, who the hell does he think he is?
Yeah. Well, not, or it could be.
Is he a communist? Is he going to be wielding a sickle next? Or, I remember this time. Or, I remember these people.
Or it could be a mid-credit or post-credit scene where he, like, recaps the movie. Like, or an event in the movie. But he's got his J. Jonah spin on it.
Yeah, I don't get why people keep rooting for the Black Panthers. I remember the Black Panthers, and no one rooted for them then. What's wrong with you people? Damn millennials!
No, I like, yeah, I was so happy when I saw him on screen, because I've been saying that since they, you know, since the Andrew Garfield Amazing Spider-Mans. I've been saying they need to bring him back as J. Jonah Jameson. And then everyone said, oh, no, no, they're not doing it because he's Commissioner Gordon now in the Justice League
what?
Movie.
Well,
was he?
Yeah, he was commissioned. You don't remember those photos of him like being like pumped up at the gym?
Nope.
Like, yeah, Google that. Google
photos. Remember
J.K. Simmons working out at the gym? That guy got ripped to be Commissioner Gordon. It was crazy.
He wears a trench coat. Why does he need to be ripped?
I don't know. He just did. I guess method acting, I guess.
Dedication, Mike. That's why. Dedication. Learn something from it.
But, yeah, I was so ecstatic when I saw him on screen.
Yeah, so him replacing Stan Lee would be, like, him making the cameos, I definitely agree, would be the best. Especially if he's, like, shitting on everything the heroes do.
I'm still going with Kevin Smith over that, but that's definitely a close second. I want to see me some blunt manachronic in the MCU.
Okay, so my second question for you guys is the post-credit scene where, as we said, it's revealed that Nick Fury and Maria Hill have been replaced by Skrulls.
Uh-huh.
But they were...
They haven't been replaced. If you pick up on an earlier line in the film, they say they have Skrull sleeper cells all over.
I thought they said Kree.
Whatever. The people that change shapes. I don't fucking remember.
Well, no, the Kree, the Kree don't...
It drastically matters.
I was watching a video earlier about a discussion, like, they were literally discussing the post-credit scenes, and they said that the line was Skrull. But
anyway, well, it might have been. Like, when I...
They said that they've got Skrull sleeper cells everywhere.
I can't remember why they said that, though, out loud. But anyway,
Secret Invasion.
Well, that's the thing. Is it Secret Invasion? Because they contacted the actual Nick Fury.
Yeah, they're working with him.
Yeah, like, he's just out in space doing something. But he's...
That's a big question.
Like, Secret Invasion was the plot line of the Skrulls invading Earth and replacing the heroes. But they don't seem to be doing that. But at the same time, Talos says, like, you know what, you know, I gotta keep... He said something to the effect that he has to figure out a way of explaining where the Avengers are.
Well, I think he was explaining everything that happened in Spider-Man to Fury, because I like how he gets all flustered. And he's like, we did what you said, we gave the glasses to the kid, and then things kind of really went off the rails there. But
yeah. Yeah, I love that guy. I love that actor. Playing Talos. He's awesome.
In Endgame, Tony Stark had a line about Thanos coming and saying, hey, Cap, remember when I wanted to put a shield of armor around the world and you stopped me? I bet you, something like, I bet you wish we had it now. And in the comics, there's an organization like S.H.I.E.L.D. called S.W.O.R.D.
Yes.
That protects Earth from alien invasions. If Nick Fury is working with S.W.O.R.D. Yeah, hey, we got on Earth under control, but we now have planetary galactic threats that we need to worry about. We need to be out here keeping an eye on that.
Who would you cast as Betsy Brand?
Yeah, oh, Tatiana Maslany?
Yeah,
she would be awesome. Okay, so Mike, again, getting like the conspiracy aspect of this. How long has Talos been Nick Fury? Has this been going on for a while? Does this go all the way back to Infinity War? Mm-hmm. Like, when we saw Nick Fury get dusted, was that actually Talos getting dusted?
I think he would have shifted. Otherwise, he'd be like, oh, bloody hell, this wasn't part of the plan.
Yeah, I think it was
actually Fury.
Yeah. Or
which means
maybe,
I think he went into space after he got returned.
Maybe it explains those posters where Nick Fury's eye patch was on the wrong side as Talos is doing a mirror image.
Because
shit, well, now we have to see the movie again to see if Nick Fury's eye patch changes throughout the movie.
Well, you actually see him like play with it at one point. Like I thought, but that was Talos though. So was Talos already Nick Fury at the funeral? Like that's what I'm wondering if maybe this has been going on. How did
you move to skip out on your buddy's funeral?
He was in space though. I mean, you got to give him, you know.
But how far is he from space? Is he in orbit? Because S.W.O.R.D. was like an orbital defense thing.
Well, that's the thing. They never really, as far as I said, I've only seen this movie once. I couldn't tell like where they were exactly. Okay. You know, if they got dusted, it doesn't necessarily mean they would revert back to their original form either. So,
well, I think it would have given something away though. Plus, he did use the Sam Jackson line as he was dusting. And I don't think Talos would have done that. I think he would have done one of his planetary curse words.
Any other thoughts before that you guys want to throw out there about Spider-Man?
Thoughts or jokes?
If you haven't seen it, seen it. If you haven't seen it, go see it. And if you did see it, well, I don't have to tell you. You're going to want to see it again.
Yeah, I second that motion.
Okay,
and then go see Endgame and get that last $20 million worldwide.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, they are re-releasing it just so that they can get ahead of that one movie.
I think that's already failed. I'm pretty sure that the backlash has killed that, from what I understand.
We'll see.
But, okay, so let's talk the mid-credit scene. What are you guys' thoughts on the future of Spider-Man going forward? Because, again, like the post-credit scene was like a call-out to Secret Invasion. Whereas the mid-credit scene was kind of a call-out to the one of the events in Civil War. Where,
yeah, like the last storyline, like one last day or something.
Yeah.
Where the world knows who he was and everything's closing in on him.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing is, A, if anybody has been paying attention, it hasn't been Avengers closing out Phase 2 and 3. It's been bug people movies. Ant-Man closed out Phase 2, and Spider-Man closes out Phase 3. So that's kind of weird. Second thing is that Spider-Man, now that he doesn't have a mask, right, like that really blows up everything. Like, you're right. Like, it is a little bit of Civil War going on, you know, but like it literally affects the character in every way, shape, and form, because now not only does everybody know his face, but they're also going to be very suspicious of him. And from what I just heard a rumor and innuendo earlier tonight stating that they were going to step back from the Spider-Man films for a few years and try to, I guess, bring up more of the side Spider-Man films, like do another Venom, do the Morbius film, maybe a Sinister Six, and then that way when they come back, whatever the kid's name, I forget the kid's name that plays
Tom Holland. Anybody?
Tom Holland. So he's going to age up in real life, and then they can actually kind of fast forward, and they'll be able to be like, all right, you know, 5 years has passed since, you know, I was outed to the world, and this has happened, and blah, 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 blah.
I don't think they're going to be able to. Well, the thing is, they're not going to be able to do that because they've already fast forwarded. Like, Far From Home
they can do anything they want.
Far From Home takes place in 2023.
Yeah.
So if they fast forward, that'd be 2028.
If you have J. Jonah as a 24/7 news talking head pundit kind of role, then how many people are going to believe him? He can say Spider-Man's Peter Parker all he wants, but just going with our real world, you're going to have half the people believe everything out of his mouth and half the people doubt.
No, but it was
Mysterio. Mysterio.
Yeah, it was Mysterio that did it.
Yeah, they
Jonah just aired it.
Yeah, yeah. They show him without his mask.
Right, but I'm saying, like, didn't Facebook and Twitter just get in trouble for doctored videos that deep they wouldn't fake pull?
Yeah, deep fake. Oh,
shit, that would be great. He could just be like, hey, man, it's Fox News, okay?
Yeah, but the only thing is, though, everyone's going to be watching him now, so he couldn't even be Spider-Man anymore because he's going to have people watching him all the time. I think what's going to happen, this is my theory.
He would need a Skrull to impersonate him.
Well, they could go that route, but I'm also thinking, like, because if you remember the last movie, the Homecoming movie, the guy, the Scorpion, I can't remember what that actor's name is. That guy, like, he's essentially the Scorpion, because he's got the Scorpion tattoo, and he's asking the Vulture, like, they're in prison, he's like, I want to know who Spider-Man is, and Vulture's like, I don't know. And, like, he knows, but he's not telling him. So now the Scorpion guy, potentially him and other people that Spider-Man's pissed off, they're all going to be gunning for Peter Parker and Aunt May and all them. So now,
he's happy into it.
Yeah, like, I really think the next movie's going to take place right after, and it's going to be, like, him, like, scrambling.
Him on the run.
Yeah, him trying to survive, because now all these villains are going to be coming out of the woodwork to kill him.
Yeah, the question is, like, does it show him leaving and running, or does he, like, try to be Peter Parker and be like, I don't know why he said my name? Like, I mean, like, could it have been, like, another Peter Parker? He didn't see the Peter Parker from, well, yeah, it did show his face, but, you know, he could be just like, I don't know why he chose me. It would be, like, a really bad plan.
Well,
but then again, it would confirm everything if he just ran.
I think that's, like, it'll be him running for his life, like, in the next movie, but it could so easily be
Ben Reilly.
Well, it can be really undone right quick, the way that Matt Murdock, when he got outed in the comic books, Doctor Strange just put a spell on everybody. He put a planet-wide spell out, so everyone forgot that Matt Murdock was Daredevil.
No, that was for Spidey.
No, Spider-Man. He made the deal with Mephisto. That's the one.
But he imagined, like, everyone remembers him doing the spell with Doctor Strange, because I remember him in a couple of comics later, when someone figures out who he is, he calls up Doctor Strange and he goes, "Your spell didn't work." So Doctor Strange remembers casting a global amnesia spell for him.
For Daredevil?
No, Spider-Man.
I thought Spider-Man.
Spider-Man thinks that, like, even Mephisto wiped out Spidey's knowledge of it. Spidey thinks he made a deal with Doctor Strange, and Doctor Strange even, it shows a flashback from their memories, and Spidey and Doctor Strange team up with, I think, Reed Richards as well, to give it a global effect. But that's what they remember anyway, even though it's not true.
I think the more important question would be, do you guys think that the next Spider-Man film is going to be in the MCU or MCU adjacent? Because if it goes the way that Chris is saying, where there's a whole lot of, you know, Scorpion and this guy and that guy and whatever, Sony said in the past that when it comes to a lot of the ancillary, I can't say that word properly, but those types of characters, that they're going to keep them out of the MCU. But Spider-Man himself can move back and forth. So if there's going to be a lot of enemies and stuff, then doesn't that lead us to believe that the next film isn't necessarily going to be in the MCU? I mean, of course it's going to be technically in it, but it might not necessarily be as in it as these two past films have been.
It would be cool to see if the Sinister Six movie was them hunting Peter Parker.
That's how they meet. You never really see Tom Holland in the film.
This could be how they do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually
the Sinister Six movie, like, is all these villains converging on Peter Parker's house, and then they end up fighting each other for the right to kill him. He escapes, and then they realize, yeah, the only way we're going to find this little asshole is if we stop fighting each other, and then boom, the Sinister Six is born.
The thing is, though, they've already brought a lot of these characters into the MCU. Like, Scorpion was in Homecoming. The Shocker was in Homecoming. Vulture was in Homecoming. Like, there's there's lots of potential there. And, yeah, they could bring in, the next movie could be Kraven. It could be him hunting Spider-Man.
That would be so great. Oh, we need a Kraven movie.
I mean, they own the shows. Why not bring in Kingpin?
Yeah, Kingpin.
True.
Yeah, D'Onofrio.
Although I personally would prefer Kraven over Kingpin.
But the unfortunate thing with Kingpin, though, is I think he falls into that Netflix deal, like, where they're not allowed to use those characters for, like, 2 years.
But how long aren't they? But then at that point, by the time they get the movie out, it will have already been 2 years past. Like, even if they were to start filming right now, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because the last Daredevil thing, last thing that Kingpin was in came out a year or two ago almost at this point. Like, definitely 1 year ago for sure. Although the sad thing is without Vincent D'Onofrio, who becomes Kingpin? Because he was so great.
He was great.
Super fat Tom Hardy?
Well, honestly, they could get the actor that played him in, or did the voice of him in the Spider-Verse, Liev Schreiber. He'd be awesome as Kingpin.
He's not nearly fat enough or big enough.
I don't know. In that movie, he didn't seem to be like the intelligent, cunning master that he was in the Netflix version. He just seemed like a rich goon.
That is true. I really hope they bring D'Onofrio. I mean, they brought J.K. Simmons into it, so D'Onofrio, they could possibly. Anything's possible. Like the J.K. Simmons thing, I never thought I'd see that.
Anything is possible in the Marvel Disney cinematic universe. When you got Disney money, anything's fucking possible.
Well, pretty soon
when you have Disney owning everything, anything is possible. When you own everything, everything is possible.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Pretty soon it's just going to be the Disney universe, and we just inhabit it.
We are the Disney universe, yes.
Hey, Phineas and Ferb showing up. I'm totally down with that.
All right. Any final thoughts? Phineas and Ferb Marvel movie. Any final thoughts before we call this an episode, other than go see the movie because it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's all fantastic. Go see it.
Check back in a year.
Bring Mike with you
if we're right.
All right. Well, let's call this an episode then. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining this evening. But before we go, let's play that little game of where can we find you on the internet? And Kevin, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me at teamhellions.com and teamhellions on Twitter.
Excellent. Mike, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me reviewing horror movies on the Graveyard Shift, Horror with Sheldon and Mike. Every week we review a horror movie suggested by our listeners. We talk about the good, the bad, and we do a little comedy skit, either with us in the world of the movie or a deleted scene from the movie.
Excellent. And, Rich, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on Pop Chatter when I'm not busy fucking up the episodes. We post them. We're currently trying to fix one, and hopefully we'll have more coming soon.
Excellent.
And maybe a series if that ever gets released.
And you can find me here at the Pop Culture Pub podcast for future episodes. Also, we have a group on Facebook if you want to join that. It's the Pop Culture Pub. Just send a request. I'm sure I'll approve it. And, we talk everything pop culture. So the next episode that is on the schedule for us is an episode which is called The Future of Comic Book Movies. This is going to be dealing more with other comic book properties like DC films. We'll be talking about the X-Men a little bit, other comic book movies. And that'll be our next episode that will be coming out. So on behalf of myself, Chris Lockhart, and all the gentlemen that joined me this evening, Mr. Richard Reeder, Mr. Kevin Decent, Mr. Mike King, I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to the Pop Culture Pub podcast. My name is Chris Lockhart. This was our MCU past and future episode, and we will see you again in the not-too-distant future.